The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Speaking of sea monsters, I'm hungrier than a hammerhead. Let's see what's cooking in the galleys today, shall we?
Sandals and socks! Watch for 10 lanes with sandals and socks!
Weird. Hey everybody, welcome to Unlocking the Magic. We are going to have so much fun today. I hope you can hear it in my voice. We are going to unlock Disney's Typhoon Lagoon.
This should be exciting.
I am super excited to talk about this. I think you might know why, but I'm not going to share it right away. I want everyone who's starting to listen to continue to listen, kind of like a cliffhanger.
What do you mean you're so excited to share this? Like, you're not excited to share every other show we do?
That is also true.
That is true. Very much so.
Very much.
So I'm excited to do this. We just went to Disney recently, and so it's kind of fresh in our mind. We don't go to water parks too often because sometimes when we go, it's not that hot.
Yeah, water park is definitely something that we always want to do. The kids are for sure. They are always asking. But when we visit Walt Disney World in the months of, let's say, November, December, January, it's not necessarily either they're closed for refurbishment during that time or it's just not that appealing, even though they do heat all the water.
The water is warm. When you go in February, though, it can be hit or miss. Sometimes if it's cold, they don't even open.
Yeah.
But we just happened to go in April. It was like 85 degrees all week, which was exciting because it was really cold here. And the kids were pumped to actually get to go to Typhoon Lagoon. For the first time in a while.
They were really excited. So it was hard. I know that, you know, with Blizzard Beach and Typhoon Lagoon, there's always that would you rather and kind of trying to decide on what are the two. But we decided on Typhoon, and I'm so happy we did because now we get to share a recent review too. You know, I want to unlock some history about the park, some things that may have changed the park itself if things weren't in a certain way back when it opened in 1989. And give you guys a little review of what we experienced recently and the, of course, changes. There's also that new attraction that we tried.
Which I like because I like the fact that you don't have to carry your raft up it.
All right. Yeah, we could talk about that more in detail in a minute.
Yes.
All right. So can I go into the story? Let's go into the story.
Go for it.
All right. And so I don't know, Bruce, how much you know about this.
Zero.
Okay. Well, first, let's just say that the park opened back in 1989, and prior to the park opening, they were kind of tossing around ideas of what to do with the park itself, like what type of theme. And of course, with Disney, it's all about the story, and they were trying to decide on what story. And so some of the backstory, actually some concepts were originally supposed to be either a Floridian sort of like a, not so much swamp, but like a Floridian landscape with auto animatronic gators and kind of tunnels. Or another concept was actually a beached cruise ship.
Huh, that would have been interesting.
I know, I thought about that and I was thinking, if that is true, a beached cruise ship, what would it be like? You know, obviously this was way before Disney even came out with their cruise line. Like, how would that affect things?
I don't know, but that sounds interesting. A beach, they should do that for the third water park if they do one.
Okay. And then another one, which I know you have no idea about, is, so this concept actually surprised me a little bit, but I guess Michael Eisner, who was reinventing, you know, at the time, 1989, there was a lot of things happening in Walt Disney World. It was definitely a time to innovate and change things. He really loved the movie, which I don't even know if you've seen it. The movie called Splash.
With Tom Hanks?
Yes, you've seen it.
I don't know if I've ever seen the whole thing, but I definitely know which movie you're referring to.
You've seen it.
That's where the lady turns into a mermaid, right?
I think I just saw
it. I think my sister might have made me watch that when I was younger.
Just admit it. You loved the movie.
No.
All right.
Anyway. I do remember watching that with my sister, though, because she's older than me. She's pretty old, actually.
She is pretty old.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
No, not that I'm not old, but.
Yeah, right.
In 1989, I was just a little boy.
So Splash came out with Daryl Hannah, and it was, yes, that mermaid movie that you so interestingly know the details of, yet you say you didn't watch it.
I didn't say I didn't watch it. I didn't watch all of it.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, anyway, Michael Eisner really loved this movie and this concept, and that sort of almost...
Was it a good movie?
I thought Splash was a really great movie for its time, especially I thought the way the movie, the storyline and the way, I don't know, I think it was definitely cutting edge for its time, but I don't know how I would envision a whole water park. I mean, guess mermaids, that would be cool. But
no, that would freak me out after seeing Pirates 4.
That's true. That's a long time away.
Yes.
Okay.
No, Pirates 5. No, Pirates 4. Yeah, you're right.
Are you okay there?
Yes.
Do you need a minute?
I got a little confused.
Pirates 5 is not yet out.
I noticed that.
Okay. So, all right. So back to the story. So then, you know, they thought about it some more, and they came up with this great concept, Typhoon Lagoon. And so I want to share with you the story. I'm just going to read along.
So it's kind of like the cruise ship that got abandoned, but without the cruise ship.
Yeah.
More fish boats and shrimp boats, right?
Well, why don't you hear the story?
Okay, read it to me.
Okay. So the story takes place back in 1955. There was a small resort village named Placid Palms. And here we go. I'm going to read some of this. It's going to rhyme a little bit. You ready?
Ready.
A ferocious storm once roared across the sea, catching ships in its path, helpless to flee. Instead of a certain and watery doom, the wind swept them there to Typhoon Lagoon. You know, I had so much fun reading that.
I know. It reminded me of a video I once watched about the Haunted Mansion in Ex Astencio, who came up with the...
Which I can't believe you can say that.
I know, me either. Well. Well, I watched it a lot, so.
Okay.
I've heard his name. He's many amazing. Times. Yeah, he came up with the kind of the rhyme for the Haunted Mansion. Hmm. And he says it, you know, if you think of the song when you're in the attraction or like when they're dancing around, he actually says it. And it's so cool to hear him say it. And you saying that reminded me of, not that you sound like an old man, just that it reminded me of him saying that.
All right. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
I mean, you're welcome.
Okay. So here we go. Hold on to your seat.
Always.
This storm, known as Hurricane Connie.
Huh. That's what we call you when you come home from work.
Not only... I thought you'd get a kick out of this. Not only... True story here. Not only changed the landscape of the resort island, earthquakes and volcanic eruption also damaged this island. However, the people of the Placid Palms Resort Village joined together to rebuild what was left of their poor village after this storm, and now it was renamed Leaning Palms.
Huh.
Interesting?
Yes.
So are you going to be calling me Hurricane Connie from now on?
We kind of do already behind your back.
Okay. Anyways. So this story is important to know. I mean, you know, with Disney, story is incredible. It doesn't really necessarily hit you right in the face. So it's kind of like these little pieces you have to put together. And what can be difficult, especially
which I wish they would hit people in the face with it.
Why is that?
Because then they would know the story.
Right away?
Instead of just wandering through the park trying to go from slide to slide.
Okay, well, here's what I'm going to say about that. I know it can be difficult, especially when you're visiting a water park on a 90, 95 hot, humid degree day. However, if you can take the time to just slow down a little bit and read these signs here and there and really try to capture what is right in front of you, it really is so much more fun, and you have way more fun with the family. I know that there's signs all over. There's these little hints of the story as you go through the resort. And again, I think it just pulls it all together and really makes you feel like you've traveled somewhere rather than just a typical water park.
Right. And they're kind of subtle signs as you're going around.
They are.
They're not always necessarily right in front of your face.
Exactly. So now everyone knows, and the sort of icon of the park is right on top of what's called Mount Mayday, this huge volcano, which has Miss Tilly, the shrimp boat, which sits on top of this humongous 95-foot mountain. And she sounds her bell it was longer years past, but now it seems to be every minute and a half or so. sounds her bell, which signals that the volcano is about to erupt. And it kind of, the steam from the volcano erupts. And she's kind of plugged the hole for the lava, but
it she's still there.
She's still there. Which, what's the blue guy's name from Guardians of the Galaxy? I know this is off topic here, but you know who I'm talking
yes,
about.
Yes, I do know who you're talking about.
But I don't know why. But his character I can't think of his name right now. I know everyone's listening going, they're shouting his name at me. But every time...
Why are you thinking about that guy?
Because every time, I couldn't help this particular trip, every time that...
The blue guy, like the big strong guy?
Yeah, that sends out, not the big, the blue guy. He's blue and he sends out the arrow.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yondu.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
I thought you meant the big blue... Dax. Isn't Dax the other guy?
I love him, yeah. too. But the reason why I talking about him is because every time, and I know any of whoever's listening right now, if you're there, correct me if I'm wrong, but every
Drax,
time,
not Dax. I said Dax. It's Drax. Sorry.
How do you pronounce it?
Drax. D-A-R-X.
What did you say?
Dax.
Oh.
I knew it was something like that.
Yeah. It sounded right to me anyway. So every time now the horn blows, I keep thinking of him.
What?
Sounds just like his call whenever he would whistle.
Oh, yeah. And the arrow comes out?
Yeah. I couldn't stop thinking of it. So I was off. I was off. My stories were off. So maybe they have to change that sound for well, maybe I'm the only one, I guess. So
never know. Maybe we get an email saying people thought the same thing.
I can't stop thinking about it. All right. Anyway, so that's some of the fun story of this incredible water park. Now, if you've ever visited any water park, you will know visiting a Disney water park outbeats anything you've ever seen or done. Just the level of cleanliness, that story that you see, it just immerses you into so much more fun than you can find anywhere else.
I have to say this water park was very clean. But no matter how clean a water park is, going into a bathroom barefoot just weirds me out.
You did make sure we all had our shoes on for
yes.
the bathroom. I can appreciate that.
So
it's definitely
hard though, because you get off a ride and you're soaking wet and you gotta go get your shoes on. And I guess you could wear those waterproof shoes, but
you could.
I don't know about those.
You could definitely wear your waterproof shoes. Okay, so let's talk about, you know, let's give sort of like a quick review of the overall overall park. Maybe name some attractions that we loved, maybe some that we didn't necessarily like, or, you know, some of us preferred rather than others. And we've got to talk about the new attraction, Misadventure Falls.
Okay, so first off, I love the way that you enter Typhoon Lagoon, the winding path to get to...
Which was deliberate, by the way.
Right, I understand that.
Okay, sorry.
And the reason that they do that is because they want you to walk through the path up to... There's almost like a lookout point as well, which nobody was looking at. Everybody kind of just rushed right to the lagoon.
Yeah.
There was nobody up there.
All right, listen, full disclosure, I was a little guilty of this myself. It was hot, and I couldn't wait to just go down the ride, and I couldn't wait to try Misadventure Falls.
Right. And the parking's free, by the way, which I like.
Yeah, that is definitely something I think a lot of people don't realize. It's free for now. Who
Including
knows?
Me when I went there?
Yes, it could change. This could change. So anyways, go ahead.
So if you do rent a car...
And you're off property.
Yeah, it doesn't cost any money.
Right, which is, you know, we were talking about this a while back was, you know, the perks of staying off and on property. And one of the things about staying off property, I know I'm going kind of off track here, but don't forget that, you know, you have to pay to park at the theme parks each day you visit. So if you are off property, that's important. But anyway, it was a nice surprise that
I was fully expecting to pay. And I was expecting to pay. I know that's usually a little bit more. I was like, all right, $10 because it's only open half a day and it's a water park. But I didn't have to pay anything, and I was super happy.
Really happy. I don't know how we didn't notice that before, but anyway.
But you walk up the winding path, you get to the lookout, you can oversee the lagoon. That theming part of it was pretty spectacular.
I totally agree.
And the wave pool lagoon is humongous.
It is humongous.
Like, it's very much deceiving when you look at it on a map or on a YouTube video. When you walk over to how big it actually is, because at certain points, we were sitting on the beach, kind of, and we wanted to get across, and we walked through the lagoon, the wave pool, and it took a little while.
This pool is one of the best features of Typhoon Lagoon, and I think it's one of the factors.
Hold on there. The lazy river is.
Okay. I thought you were stopping the show for a second. I was like, wait a minute, what's happening?
No.
All right. Yeah, no, good point. But I know you're talking about Castaway Creek there, but What I think that a lot of people, I think the Typhoon Lagoon Surf Pool is really a highlight of the park, and I think it's the determining factor for those that are considering either Blizzard Beach or Typhoon Lagoon. I think that's got to be one of the reasons. This isn't just a wave pool. This is an actual surf pool. Like you said, the waves, the pictures, the videos online. I was trying to take some video myself, and it just wouldn't do its justice. You have to be there, hear that bell go off, that sound, and you know this huge wave is about to unfold over you. And which, by the way, you can take surfing lessons there, which we haven't done, which I kind of really want to do.
I know. I did hear it's a little pricey.
I know.
And it's really early in the morning.
Yeah.
We got to figure out something. I would like to do that.
Maybe we could take my mom with us on our next trip and sort of, I don't know.
I have to say, I'm a pretty big guy. And these waves were like 10 times, they felt like they were 10 feet over my head.
So they are, I mean, it's described as 6-foot swells in America's largest wave pool. And I agree with you. I think that I think they looked much larger than 6 feet. I think once you hear, I think the drama of hearing that bell and knowing it's about to erupt and come towards you, it's so different than anything I've ever experienced at any other wave pool ever.
Yes. There's like a red line. I don't know if you went out to the red line.
I did not.
You were a little bit afraid to go out.
I was.
But on the bottom of the pool where they kind of, it expands outward, there's like a red line. And it's like the, I don't know. I feel like it was like the point of no return. Like if you go past that red line and you swim out, like you're not swimming back in time when that wave comes.
Yes, exactly.
So you got to be ready for when that wave comes. But I do have to say, we went out to like me and the older kids. We brought my nephew this last time in our older daughter? No, I think she was a little bit afraid. Our middle daughter.
Yeah.
Tried to swim out to that rope and we got almost there. Just a fair warning, you got to really know how to swim good if you're going to be going out to that rope because you can't touch the ground and you don't really know exactly how long it is before that wave comes. So you're waiting out there, like literally waiting in water while you're waiting for the wave to come. And it gets a little bit tiring.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
So just a word of warning if you're going to go out to the rope or try to get out to that rope, make sure you're fully energized.
Fully energized. Because
it's pretty embarrassing if a lifeguard has to come save you as a grown man.
Which we didn't see. I haven't seen yet.
I was close.
Were you?
I was a little bit close to raising my hand saying I needed one of those things up there.
I didn't see you. I must have been on the launch.
And then
chair.
The wave came and I could fry. I rode it in.
You rode it in.
Yeah.
Well, there are no inner tubes allowed in the wave pool. And so I want to read really quickly because I was just thinking, I was kind of, I closed my eyes and just trying to remember exactly that moment, and I'm laughing because I'm reading on the actual site of Disney. It describes the wave. It says, feel the motion of the ocean, hear the thunderous sonic boom and eager squeals of swimmers. That is so funny because I think that's the other reason why it becomes so dramatic, and I think I captured that on my video. It's like you hear this boom, this sonic whistle that goes through, and all of a sudden, all these kids are screaming, and I may have screamed myself, but it's just so exciting. So, and then all of a sudden, this big kahuna comes in, and it's just so much fun.
And the wave comes.
Yeah, that too. Okay, a little tip, I guess. Should we share tips now or later about the certain attractions?
Yeah, whenever you feel like it.
Well, I just want to say, if you are not a, if you're not a strong swimmer and you decide to kind of stay in the, I guess, shallow end of the wave, just keep in mind these waves are super strong when they come in and they will knock you down. And I found that it was better to kind of be waist deep in water than like knee deep because they knock me down. And I know a couple times the kids got scraped. So
yeah, the bottom of the pool does scrape you. And when you're knee deep in water, you don't expect to go down.
That's the thing. And
when you're waist deep in water, you're like, if I go down, there's enough water here to support me. But when you're knee deep, you're like, I ain't going. Oh, my God, I'm down.
Yeah. And so I saw a lot of little kids and, you know, they're bobbing here and there with their moms. And I saw a lot of moms and dads surprised.
That's what happened to me. Like, it totally caught me by surprise. And I was pretty shallow talking to the kids. And the wave hit me and, like, dragged me along the bottom.
Did you drag a few kids?
I was like laughing as I was trying to get up because it was funny, but it did hurt.
It is fun. I think it, I mean, it doesn't.
I feel like I got a little rug burn there.
Yeah, just keep that in mind. Yeah, no, but it's all in good fun and we had a blast.
I would say the best spot, if you want to really enjoy the wave but not get pummeled,
okay,
is 10 feet before that red line.
Oh.
You get a good spot. You get the wave. It's not like the beginning of the wave, like even out by that rope, isn't necessarily the best spot because the wave comes and it's just a big wave and you just kind of go up and then down. But 10 feet before that red line,
yeah,
you get like pretty nailed. And it's a great, like if you want to body surf, it's just far enough away where you don't get scraped.
I think there was a dad body surfing.
Yeah, that was me.
Oh, that was you?
There was multiple dads body surfing. Some intentional and some unintentional.
Yeah. Anyways.
There was some moms body surfing too that I'm pretty sure all weren't intentional.
Me included.
Yeah.
I forget how strong that wave is.
It's the funniest thing ever to see a grown man come up and start looking for his sunglasses while he's checking out his knees because he just got scraped.
All right. Enough with that. But that is the highlight. I think, well, I know you're going to disagree because you're going to want to go right into the highlight. It's Castaway Creek.
Yes, I did love this attraction. The one thing I have to say is that they do have the lifeguards standing out there with some nets, but I did notice a lot of debris in there.
Well, that's to be expected.
No, it's not.
Well, it's not debris per se.
It's just leaves and stuff.
All right, but it was windy that day when we were there.
I know, but it grossed me out a little.
Okay. Well, all right.
But other than that, if you can get over that part.
Okay. I don't think you should imply at all that it... I think you're just being picky here.
I am.
Okay.
And people know I'm picky.
All right. Well, I will say is be on the lookout for any debris regarding sunglasses.
Yes. And if you find black ones that are a little bit oval-shaped, P.O. Box 82, Swampscott, Massachusetts, 01907, please.
Please.
Thank you.
Please send them along. Please. We were there and...
And thank you.
They had a bunch of other black ones.
I could have got some really nice pairs if I wanted to.
These are not a really nice pair, FYI.
But Castaway Creek is good with or without a tube?
I was going to ask you what you prefer. Okay, so...
You know what I prefer?
Yes.
I prefer starting out without a tube and then like kind of just gathering tubes as I need them around the thing.
All right, so let's just talk about it. So, okay, first let me just say Castaway Creek, so for those of you that don't know, is basically a lazy river, but it's a lazy river Disney style. So you basically, you grab an inner tube or you don't have to, you can walk or swim or whatever, float down this really scenic lazy river that goes all around the entire water park with multiple entrances and exits, which you can literally use it as a train to your next attraction.
True.
You know?
Which we did.
Which
a train, you mean a train, yeah.
Like a transportation.
Gotcha.
Okay. And which we did a lot because it is a far walk.
Until you miss your turn.
Yes, and you have to go.
And you end off at the wrong spot.
I love this lazy river in particular because it's just so scenic. This creek really has so much detail and so much fun. I mean, there's so much to see while you're on there. There's waterfalls, rope bridges. You go through a rainforest, and you really just go through the tunnel carved into Mount Mayday. And I really feel immersed more in the story on this particular attraction than anything else in the park.
I'd say there's two attractions, three in the park, that really made me immersed in the story. I'd say Castaway Creek, the Crush and Gusher, and Misadventure Falls.
Which is new.
Right. I feel those three had really strong stories as you're either walking through to get on the attraction while you're on it and then after.
Which is interesting because Crush and Gusher wasn't necessarily original to the park. So
it does have a great theme though as you're walking through and then up the stairs.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with you. I'm just saying like it wasn't always there. So it's interesting that, you know, they might have worked on the storyline a little more as the park was open for a longer period. But anyway, so the inner tubes here, they don't cost any money, by the way. They come because that was a question with the kids. They said, Mom, we need to rent a tube to go onto the Lazy River. And no, you do not, even though they're kids and they don't listen to me. So they had to kind of learn that on their own. Yep. But do you prefer grabbing a tube or swimming?
It depends on if there's anybody in the tube.
That is true.
If there's somebody in the tube, then I'll swim.
I like the double tubes.
Yeah, those are pretty good.
I like the double tubes because I don't necessarily use the double tube for an extra individual. I like to put my feet on the double tube because it makes my feet have somewhere to go rather than dangle in strangers' faces.
I'll tell you what, if there's not a lot of people on it, I like the tube. But okay. For me, I have long legs, so it gets a little bit awkward when I'm sitting on the tube and there's a bunch of people and like my feet are touching their tube or it's like crowded. So I'm gonna have to say that if there's a ton of people, I'd rather just kind of not use a tube and be able to wade my way or take a break and stop for a second and let the crowd pass and then start again.
I have to say, when we were here, it happened to be a really hot, humid day, and I knew the park was going to be busy because, I mean, I can't imagine going to a theme park on a 90-degree humid day. But anyway, we decided to go to Typhoon Lagoon, and one of the first things our older daughter and I decided to do was go on to this lazy river. And while we're on there, it was crowded. I mean, a sea of these inner tubes and feet and people's hands. I mean, everybody's having a good time. Everybody's happy. But it was early in the morning, which if you are going on this attraction and you don't prefer a crowd, I would say go later in the day. It was probably not right when the park opened when we went, but
11-ish, morning. 12-ish.
Yeah, it's a prime time, I guess, for this attraction in particular. But it does wind down later in the day. Anyway, I thought to myself, there's no way Bruce is going to, he's going to complain. Oh my goodness, this is like the highlight of the park and he's not going to have any fun, which really means I'm not going to have any fun.
Right.
That whole happy wife, happy life thing. No. It's like happy hubby, happy, I don't know. I can't think of a rhyme right now.
I can't either.
Okay, but anyway.
You lost me on that one.
You did love it. You had fun and I think...
I don't know how lazy it is, though, because I did spend half of my time trying to avoid people.
That's true.
And I was doing a lot of work on that thing. Let me ask you, are you the type of person... I feel like there's two type of people on this ride.
All right.
People who don't want to bump into anybody and work hard to not do that. Like, you're paddling with your arms or you're kicking with your feet and you're trying to avoid people. Or are you the person that just kind of sits there and if there's four strangers in front of you and your feet are dangling all over their tube, it's fine.
Yeah, I'm making friends. Did you even have to ask that question?
I did. Because I'm number one.
I know you are.
I'm like trying to avoid people. Like if someone comes near me, I try to push their tube away from me.
Which you do a pretty good job about.
I did.
I'm sure they appreciate it. I don't think they want to talk to you.
I'm pretty sure they don't either. I don't mind talking. It's just I don't want feet on me or people. I don't want to be surrounded by tubes and people.
Okay, I understand.
I was a little claustrophobic on that.
I did. There were a few moments where I completely lost you. I probably was dangled up in somebody else's
I did camera. Notice, like, you're on that with, if you go on, like, we had six people with us, and all of a sudden, I look around, there was one person with me, and you guys were, like, 40 yards behind us.
Yeah, hold on to your child's raft if you decide not to, which, if you don't want to do that double raft thing, which I recommend if you have, like, a little one, or definitely hold on to them.
It has a quick current, but it's not strong. It's not going to pull you under, but if you just float, it's going to pull you.
Yeah, and so you'll lose them, like, not quickly.
But you don't have to be a super strong swimmer in order to avoid it. Like, you can stand up.
Oh, yeah. Yes, just hold on to your glasses.
Right.
Okay.
Or just don't even... It's hard not to wear your glasses on there, though, because it's so sunny and bright. I couldn't see anything.
Yes, which is probably why each lifeguard post had about three or four sunglasses there, and then they also told us to go to the front desk.
And I asked if they had, I'm like, did you find any sunglasses? And she looked at me like, are you kidding me?
Sir.
Like, we could open a sunglass store with all the
Typhoon
sunglasses.
Typhoon Lagoon sunglasses.
I'm surprised they don't. I bet you the sunglasses they sell in the shop are just sunglasses that people haven't picked up yet.
I wonder how long they hold them for. This is a good question. How long do they hold the sunglasses for? And when do they decide to get rid of them? And where do they go? Like, I would love to donate them.
They go into the store and they put a
ticker to $19.99.
30 days. You got 30 days to pick up your sunglasses. Otherwise, we're selling them in our store.
All right, so before we go into the newest attraction, let's just talk about Crush and Gusher because I think this is one of the most thrilling attractions in Typhoon Lagoon. And, you know, unfortunately, you have to be the height requirement. You have to be 48 inches or taller.
Which I know why.
Yeah, I know. Well, we're going to go into that now.
And I'll explain why because here's the
story. Okay, you're going right into it.
All right, you can explain and then I'll get into that story.
Well, I just want to say take your time on this attraction walking up because there's a story behind this as well, and it's basically an abandoned fruit processing plant that basically washed and processed fruit down these water slides. So it's cute. According to legend, fruit was washed here prior to packaging when the plant was still operating before the big typhoon, and says find a partner and choose from three shoots: pineapple plunger, coconut crusher, or banana blaster. Or go bananas and crush it solo. So there's a lot of story in this attraction, right down to your raft. So take note of these little special little things that pop out so that you can really immerse yourself in the story. Don't just grab your raft and run up. Like, look around. Okay.
Right.
All right, without giving too much
away. Now, the 48-inch thing.
Okay.
I know why you have to be 48 inches.
Tell us.
Because me, myself, and our younger daughter went on together. And me and you went on first together, which was fun.
Did we? Oh, yeah, we did.
And, you know, I got the hang of it, and we got to the end. And you think you're going to fly off at the end because it comes to such an abrupt stop. But we just went off, and we got off the tube really quick. It was fun. Then we floated over to the stairs. So we decided to go. My younger daughter wanted to go with me. We're flying down the slide.
Which, how many inches is she now?
She's got to be 50, 52.
50? I would say 50.
Well, she's 50, more than 52 because she can go on every ride.
Yeah, but that's 40, usually 48.
Yeah, so she's probably 52 to 54 inches.
Okay.
But she's small.
Yeah.
She's tiny. We go on the slide. We're going on there. She's fine. I'm like trying to go as fast and high on the wall as we possibly can. We get to the end, and all of a sudden we hit the water, and she slingshot it off like 20 feet forward into the pool.
Which I'm so grateful that I missed.
I was like, she was fine, obviously.
Obviously. I saw you guys afterwards.
But she was hilariously laughing. It was totally unexpected. Like, I've never seen anybody do that before. We watched people get off the tubes and slide off the slide many times. I've never seen that in my life. And I wasn't expecting it. And usually you're like, hey, make sure you hold on to her. On every ride we go on, that's a little bit dangerous or looks a little bit dangerous. And this time I totally didn't. And she went catapulting off like 10 feet into the pool.
So she must have not been holding on to the raft because... If she was, there's places for you to hold on. They do tell you, make sure you hold on.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she was not holding on.
This was at the very end, though. So
this is when we hit the pool.
I kind of feel like this was done purposely.
It looked like, you know what it looked like?
Yes.
Those YouTube videos where they put the big puffy float in the lake.
Yes.
And like one person's laying on it and the other person jumps on it. And like that other person who's laying on it goes flying off into the lake.
Yes.
That's exactly what Gianna looked like.
My gosh. My worst nightmare. So I am so grateful I was behind you guys and didn't see any of this. But do you feel, knowing our youngest and how much of a thrill seeker she is, do you feel like this was done intentionally?
Probably, since she asked me if we can do that again.
Did you do that again?
We did not.
Okay. Goodness gracious. All right. Well, that's a short tale of Crush and Grusher.
Yes. So the other thing that we went on was, I don't think you went on with us, Humunga Cowabunga.
I actually skipped this one.
Which is those ones that go straight down.
Again, another 48 inches or taller attraction.
But you know what I liked about the park so far?
What?
There was not really any wait lines.
Yeah, I was surprised by that, especially where I had thought it was going to be a busy day. But yeah, it was pretty low-key this day. I mean, it was busy.
Yeah, Misadventure Falls was the longest line. I think we waited like 15 or 20 minutes for that one, which is to be expected since it's new. But there was not, we didn't really wait too long.
Yeah, you're right. I didn't think of that.
It does get a little chilly, though, if you get out of the water and it's a little bit of a breeze and you're waiting in line with your bathing suit wet.
It can get a little chilly.
Yeah, so it was a little chilly that day, even though it was hot.
All right, so...
So Humunga Cowabunga, you did not go on with us, which is the ones that go straight down. Those are pretty fun. Hold on to your bathing suit.
Yeah, I think our oldest had gone on that, and when you decided you were going to take the other kids up, she wanted to wait that one out, and I decided that, based on her description of what happened to her bathing suit, I thought, I'm going to skip this one.
I wish I heard that story of the bathing suit, because maybe I wouldn't have gone on.
So here's the deal. I think I've explained this before, but I'm a constant wreck during my visit to the water park, basically because just grabbing any inner tube, I'm so awkward. I can't carry the thing. You would never know I actually like work out at all. And I'm so in the back of my mind the entire time, I'm thinking of like what I'm going to look like upon the exiting the attraction, that I almost can't have fun the last few seconds of the...
Everybody's looking at you as your tube hits the water.
And right. And it's like, I know they're not looking at me, but I can't help but think they're looking at me. It's the weirdest.
Which is, if you get off of Misadventure Falls quickly, be careful because the water is not as deep as you think it is.
We're sorry, cast member Nicole, if you're listening.
Yes, I almost knocked her over.
Okay. Okay, keep going. Sorry. So how was your Humunga Cowabunga?
It was good. Bathing suit I went on once. It was fine. That was enough for me.
Okay.
But it was quick.
It was quick.
And I have to say that the water slides do hurt your back.
Okay, I know this is a topic that we had discussed prior to our recent visit to Typhoon Lagoon, and I had always argued with the fact that, listen, in Disney, that's the one thing they do right. You know, one thing they do right. One of the things for a water park that they've nailed is, you know, you don't feel that pain when you're going down a slide. But maybe because I am getting older, I feel that I'm more sensitive, and I did feel...
I don't remember feeling that as a kid.
Yeah. I think as you get older, it's sort of like the seams of the slide, you know, where they had to interlock it. You can feel a little bit.
Yeah.
So they and do... some are smoother than others. Some you don't feel at all, but there were a few.
I didn't feel any of the ones with the tube.
Well, yeah, that's true too. But I do think it's because we're getting old.
Yeah, probably. Although the kids said that they felt it too.
Yeah. All right.
They just didn't care as much as we did. They were like, we're going on again. We're like, nah, we're forgetting it.
All right. So how about Gangplank Fall? Say that six times.
Nah.
I
can't say it six times.
Oh. All right. So this one here is, it's basically a rapid, and you go down a 300-foot long water slide aboard a 4-person inner tube, which I think it describes it as 4, but I could swear we fit more than 4.
We put 6 people in there.
I guess it depends on how big you are. But anyway, I had fun on this attraction because we were all together, but I think what I had wanted was a little more...
length?
It was short. Okay, and here's why. Nothing against the attraction itself, because it's a really fun thing to do, especially, like I said, because when you can have fun with the family, it's just your experience is amplified. You have to grab your inner tube and it climb up.
I don't know if I'd call this an inner tube. This was a full-blown raft.
This was like...
This was heavy for me.
What would we do if we had to evacuate?
All I know is you go up the stairs and you can see the people getting off, and they give you the tube from the people getting off, and they're like, all right, go ahead, walk. And I thought, when I first went on this attraction, I thought that you were going to take your tube up and then there would be like a conveyor belt like Miss Adventure Falls, but you're carrying that tube the whole way up, which isn't that far.
No, but...
But it's like a line of families awkwardly carrying rather large tubes up the stairs in front of you.
And like this... So this attraction, which is, again, it's fun because it's any age. You can go on all ages. So you can bring your little kids and you can just enjoy some family time on this awesome raft ride. But yeah, I mean, there's little kids trying to help their parents.
It's a big tube. It's heavy, so...
It's a lifeboat.
Yeah, it's a good ride. It's one that you got to go on because the whole family can go on together, but it's not something I would go
maybe on maybe work out times. Ahead of time, knowing that you have to lift this thing up a few flights of stairs beforehand. All right, so leading up to that, I have to talk about Miss Adventure Falls, which is funny because I say Miss Adventure Falls, and a few times I go to say Miss Fortune Falls, and I was reading that was what the attraction was going to be. Oh, time's up, 30 minutes.
I'm hungry.
I'm just kidding. Let's keep going. So Miss Fortune Falls. And so they changed the name to Miss Adventure Falls. So I was trying to figure out why I was kept second guessing myself. Anyways, when we showed up to the park, we immediately went over to that way. And it was down for a little while.
It was.
Attraction. I don't know why they didn't say. But it was only for a short moment. And then they
Kind of scares me a little going on right after.
Yeah,
which I know you shouldn't, because they're not going to open it up again if it's unsafe, and it's just a water ride, so the worst thing that happens is you fall out of the raft and you just slide down on the right.
Why is that the first thing that comes to your mind? Like, it's unsafe. Why isn't it like,
well, it was down for a reason. Maybe the water was off, though. It was. They do sometimes close it because the chlorine levels get low or they're high, and they have to adjust.
Listen, I'm the one that gets freaked out with this kind of thing, not you. You're supposed to be the calm, rational.
Well, usually I don't talk about it, but we have this thing called a podcast here, so I have to talk about it.
All right, so let's talk about this attraction, which is now the centerpiece, I feel, of the park because it's brand new. You have to visit. It's the guests can be any height, which is so cool because, again, you can bring any age onto this attraction and have a really good time with your family. So this is brand new.
You don't have to carry your tube up.
And that's what I was going to go into. Thankfully, they nailed it with that whole, you know, Connie's laziness thing. And I don't want to carry this raft in a bathing suit.
Yeah.
So they avoided that awkwardness altogether. And the raft or inner tube floats over to you gently, oh so gently, while a cast member helps you, you know, explains how to get in. And then it lifts you up like in a
conveyor belt.
Yeah, like a roller coaster. That's kind of feel.
It is always a little bit cold when you're dry and you get into that raft the first time.
Back to this cool thing. What's wrong with you?
There's too many things to talk about.
Okay.
Answering that question.
So anyways, this is board a treasure raft and hit the high seas for family fun during the longest ride in the history of Disney water parks. And this is just so fun. It's just beyond the pineapple fields of Crusher and Gusher. It's in the same area. Awaits an all-new family raft attraction owned by Captain Mary Oceaneer, a seafaring treasure hunter whose hull was caught in a rogue typhoon and scattered across this tropical paradise years ago. And so this is also a four-person raft. Well, I didn't see more than four people on the raft.
No, we had to separate into two different ones.
Yeah, so they might be more strict.
I don't think there was a... The one before that we were talking about is the raft is huge. This one was a good size raft, but you couldn't fit more than four people. No. Maybe even three if it's like a mom and dad and one child or two child, unless they're small.
I think the difference on this attraction in particular as well is like I was okay with the four-person rule because that conveyor belt is pretty high. And yeah. I don't want to be with a bunch of people squished on here. I was like, okay, oh, there's foot places to put your feet. Like there's not only handles
foot
for
straps.
Your hands. Foot straps. I was like, move over.
I don't know if I want to go on an attraction. And there's no offense to anybody out there. But I don't want to go on a water slide attraction. Like I don't mind going on an attraction in the Magic Kingdom with somebody else. I don't want to go on in my bathing suit with someone I don't know real close sitting next to me.
That's hilarious. I almost knew you were going to say that. Okay. So... I think people agree with you.
Yes.
Okay. At least I do anyway. Okay. So this one here, again, it's new. It's a brand new attraction. And it tells you to hold on tight as you spy precious artifacts collected from all around the globe. And there's a parrot there, a talking parrot that you might see if you're lucky enough. And this is Captain's old diving partner. And so, again, with the story. And as you go into this attraction, it was so much fun. And so, I guess, just... A neat piece to the water park, a really thrill attraction, but balanced enough where not necessarily a crush and gusher, but
a little mixture of both.
Yes.
It's a milder version with the family and a good story.
Exactly. Great story and a lot of fun. And you can see the jewels and a lot of cool lighting as you're inside the tunnel in here. So
yeah.
A lot of fun.
I am sad that the Shark Reef closed.
Okay, I knew we had to talk about that. A lot of people were asking about us and asking us and how we felt, and I know the kids were a little disappointed with that. And I do feel like the Shark Reef added that element of the story to Typhoon Lagoon, which I kind of miss, but I'm not sure, you know, wasn't really sure why they took that down, but it is something that I miss.
Yeah, they should do something similar to that in the future.
Okay, Bruce.
So give us a couple tips, Connie.
All right. So back to a couple tips. Okay. Tip number one, bring your own towel if you don't want to pay $2 to rent each towel.
Yes. Bring your own anyway.
Bring your own. If you're flying and you don't have room in your luggage, do what we do and take a resort towel and just bring it back.
Yes.
You know, return your resort towel.
Right to your room.
Right to your room. You know, be honest and fair on that end of it. But yeah, I don't, you know, $2 for a towel where I could save that money for an amazing coffee, an iced coffee at Joffrey's.
Those are really good.
Are surprisingly good. Not because, I mean, Joffrey's is really good coffee, but there's something about being in the water park with that tropical element and feel. And that iced coffee just, I don't know.
The ice does melt quick and they don't give you covers.
They don't give you covers, but I actually liked that. Anyway, all right.
And bring some light snacks. There's something about, like, I love eating, and we talk about often going to restaurants and eating in the parks. I didn't eat a lot at this particular park. There's something about being in the water and in your bathing suit that just doesn't make me want to eat.
I'm kind of getting the hint, like, through this podcast episode that you're just feeling overall awkward in a bathing suit.
I think, you know what it is? It's not that I'm awkward in a bathing suit. It's awkward being around tons of people in their bathing suits.
All right, so what about our cruise?
You have to be on your bathing suit the whole time?
I mean, I guess you don't have to.
I mean, I hope you don't go to dinner in your bathing suit.
That's true. Yeah, no, scratch that. All right, so back to that. Yeah, this is one of the great things about, another great thing about Disney is that you are allowed to bring food in the parks and drinks. So what we did was we froze waters and we brought them into the park. We packed a little soft collapsible cooler. They don't allow glass or alcohol, but
and the bag check was a little bit different. They do check your coolers if you bring them in or a bag, but there's no real security system.
Yeah, I didn't see any like metal detectors.
It's the same person that checks your ticket or checks your print when you kind of go through the gate. They just, if you bring a bag or a cooler, just say, "Can I just check your bag real quick?" And that's how they do the security there.
Okay. Well, I will say, so pack your own food. especially if you want to save money or if you're not on the Disney dining plan and you just want to stretch your dollars, totally makes sense because it could be a long day if you decide to make it a long day at the park. You know, it usually opens by 9 or 10, and if it closes by 5 or 6, you can have a fabulous day there. And if you pack a lunch or whatever, it's great. You also want to go there early enough where you can sort of set up. You know, we got there, I would say, shortly after it opened, probably a half an hour.
Yeah.
Our intentions were to get there right as opening, but we didn't. So, but we found that grabbing a chair was pretty easy. But if you get there early, you will be able to have first dibs on, you know, your lounge chairs.
And because there are like miles of lounge chairs, and they're not very well organized once people get in there. They're kind of like just right next to each other in patches.
Yeah. So you kind of have to, what we found is like a lot of times people make camp right away and then they move around a lot. A lot of chairs end up going into the area where the pool is, the big surf pool area, and kind of they set up their chairs as so they could feel that water rushing on the below of the chair, which I think is pretty nice. We didn't do.
No.
I thought that was pretty good. And I know you're going to bring food, but I want to say set aside some money for some ice cream here because for me anyways, having an ice cream at a water park just makes total sense. And here at Typhoon Lagoon, they have something that you won't find anywhere else. And it's basically an incredible shovel ice cream. It's a sand pail. It's soft serve ice cream with all these goodies. And it's so much fun. It comes with a shovel. And anyway, okay.
Sounds good.
And my last tip I'm going to say is, two more. I have two more. Okay, you ready? Because I didn't think of these right away. But if you're going into the ladies' room, guys, to the right is where there's only like three or four stalls, and there's always a line. But if you go to the left, all the way in the back, there's about 10 bathrooms that you can use where it's by like the shower. So There was always a line. I was trying to get everyone to realize that there was more bathrooms, which makes a lot of sense if you have a little one that really needs to go to the bathroom. And lastly, I know I'm losing Bruce here, so I'm going to try to talk quick. If you're sensitive to smoking, there is smoking allowed at Typhoon Lagoon. There's designated areas. And what I didn't realize at the time was when we set up camp, we set up right kind of near the bar area, sort of to the right area. And that's where the tables are set up with ashtrays. And we were kind of...
Smoked out a little.
So if you're sensitive to that, move further away from that.
Yes.
That's it for tips. Okay.
Well, that was good.
Thank you.
So that was a good podcast episode. I thought we did a little bit of history, a little bit of insights into the attraction, and gave a few tips. So I think that we did a good job on that one.
Oh, I'm glad you agree. I hope our listeners do.
Yeah, we'll see. Email us, info@unlockingthemagic.com. Also, check us out on Facebook for our live show every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Facebook.com/unlockingthemagic. Also, Instagram, we're there. Unlock the Magic on Instagram and Twitter. We are WDWUnlockMagic. Come say hello there. If you want Connie's packing list, maybe you're heading to Disney soon or not so soon, but you still want to get your packing list ready, go to our website, unlockingthemagic.com. That's where you can find the packing list. It's free. Just put your name and email in there, and you can download that super easy. And it's pretty valuable, and it's free, which is cool to give away free stuff.
Perfect.
So that's it for me.
That's it for you?
Yeah.
Short and sweet today.
That's it.
All right.
All right, guys. We'll see you on the next episode and on Monday night at 8 p.m.
Thanks, everybody.